All right, nice to have you back with us. Time now to look through the window of baseball with the incomparable Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. We do it for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, how are you on this Saturday?
Very well, Marty. How are you doing?
Very good. I was happy to have Orlando Cepeda on today. I don't know if you heard it earlier.
I did.
Yeah, for Ollie Downtown Brown, passed away. And I'd love to get your thoughts on it, and I'll give you a couple of the text messages I got about it.
Well, it was fascinating for me to hear him say that Ollie had the best arm he'd ever seen. I mean, you think about, you know, Roberto Clemente, Ellis Valentine, Jesse Barfield, Dwight Evans, you know, Raul Mondesi, guys today like Frank Coor and Puig, and go back to Carl Farrell, Johnny Callison. I mean, but he's put Ollie Brown right there at the top. And, I mean, there's no doubt he had an absolute cannon. The rest of his tools didn't quite match up to that one. And his career was, you know, really overshadowed by some of the guys who were, you know, the real stars of the day. But that arm will never be forgotten.
No, and I'll tell you this. I got a couple of texts, one from our good friend Gary Hall. You know Gary. Mm-hmm. He said, these players named Ollie Brown's throwing arm with Clemente's, Dusty Baker, Bill Buckner, Tito 23 Fuentes, and, of course, the iconic Orlando Baby Bull Cepeda. So, you know, within baseball, and look, I remember it when he played, and, of course, the nickname was the first thing I remember.
Yeah, downtown, yeah.
And I never understood it until I read the article today about his death, that the ballpark in Fresno was directed towards downtown.
Yes.
And when he'd hit one, he just crushed it over center field. They say he hit it downtown. You know, in baseball, nicknames, Bruce, I'm telling you, they allow you to live forever.
Oh, well, they really do. I mean, so many great ones, you don't even know where to start. But baseball has always had the best ones, you know. I mean, now you get these stupid shortened names like A-Rod. I mean, anybody can come up with that. You know, who are you, M-Lure? Yeah, I talked to M-Lure the other day. Pecan's a good one, I will say. Pecan's pretty good.
Yeah, B-Jank, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, it gets tedious. You know, I mean, it's a great tradition. It's not quite alive today as it was in years past, but you still get a few gems.
No, we had a wonderful author on today. It's a very interesting book. When I see you, I'm going to show it to you. It's called Outsiders of Baseball. And he has interesting anecdotes about some of the strange people of baseball, but a couple of the nicknames are in there. Ducky Medwick, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he walked like a duck, I guess. I guess that's how he got it. Enos Country Slaughter, you know, coming from
absolutely.
The South and all that
yeah.
stuff. But the Raja, Rogers Hornsby. But Ollie Downtown Brown, I told this to Blue Moon Odom. I said, Blue Moon, the best thing in the world for you is that you got the nickname Blue Moon.
Oh, yes. John Odom, you know, he could fade into the pages of history, but Blue Moon, man, look out. You know, Shoeless Joe Jackson, the Splendid Splinter, Jolton Joe.
Yeah. And they're you know, a lot of them, you know, so, you know, Ernie Lombardi, the schnoz. I mean, you know, some of them were you know, of facial features, you know, in those days. But most of them are really kind of, you know, George Shotgun Shuba.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, really, it's just the Baby Bull, Orlando Cepeda.
Oh, beautiful.
Say Hey Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful Juan.
Yeah, it goes on and on, doesn't it?
Isn't it? But they're you know what it is, and we do these shows every once in a while. I don't want to get into a nickname show, but you come up with the nicknames, and there's something about the romance of baseball where the nickname is really kind of nice.
Well, it becomes the name, you know. I mean, it takes over. It becomes what you always call the guy. That's when you know you've really nailed something. It's not just something that. Yeah, what didn't they call him that for a while? I mean, it sticks to the guy forever. It's just wonderful. And of course, then occasionally you get a name that it's so good you don't need one, like Van Lingle Mungo.
You get a song about him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Reverend is back. How about that? And he's back in Cincinnati. How about that?
So great. Well, how perfect that he's coming back in Cincinnati, where he delivered that great speech at such a crucial time in that playoff series. In the clubhouse, and they stormed out of there like a bunch of guys from Braveheart, you know, and won that game. But he is such a pleasure to watch. He's a total treasure among the fan base. Got so many fans down here in my area, Half Moon Bay. We watch a lot of games together. Kids, women, men, everybody's watching. And Hunter Pence is universally admired. I think that goes for all around the Bay Area. He's such a great, watchable, and genuine, likable guy.
Yeah, and he'll make a difference. Look, they've only got 23 home runs. They have more runners on base than anybody. Their on-base percentage is pretty good, really, sixth in the league. And for them, that's good.
You know, yeah, you reeled off some pretty impressive stats there.
Yeah.
And the thing about Pence is that he can go 0 for 4 and inspire you just the way he busts his butt going down the line. I mean, he'll hit a comebacker and go crazy trying to beat it to first. Because you never know. Maybe the guy throws it away. Maybe it's a one-hop throw and he juggles it at first just enough to where I beat that thing. You know, That's something that's it's hard to teach some guys, but it sure is fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. We did, to just make things fun, we did a little bit of a contest on what's he going to do tonight? And, half the people said a dribbler in the infield he's known for this.
That's a very good guess because his timing might be a little off. And
that's
I think he's led the league in infield hits before. And again, it's that hustle that gets him, half of them are just on sheer hustle.
I'm saying
an infield hit and a double down the right field line.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. You're in. We'll bring the dinner to you. From Original Joe's. We'll do that. But, yeah, he leads the league in dribbles,
Yeah.
And that's how he gets RBIs. And you're right. They play him back. And he has such a powerful swing that he gets on top of the ball. And it's very effective. It really is. They miss him. They really do miss him.
And then one day he'll hit one like 450 feet, like the dead center.
Yeah.
It's just, whoa.
Yeah. It may take him a week or two to get back. I mean, he hasn't had spring training and. Now you're facing Chapman, throwing 100,
oh my God.
102. How about, did you see Chapman the other night?
Oh, jeez. Frightening.
Isn't it?
And this is a guy, he goes out there pretty much every night like that.
Yeah.
And they've always used him well. He's not out there for four innings to where he can't pitch for a couple of days or maybe something goes haywire. He's always Chapman. He's always touching 100. And, if they lost one game recently, but it was because he threw a pitch that just went right through the catcher's glove. It just was this blinding fastball, a little off the target, and he just couldn't catch it,
He does you a favor when he goes to off-speed pitches. And he started the first, I forget who was up, but the first two pitches, was it Maxwell maybe? He gave him off-speed stuff.
Yeah, anybody who likes to go after the first pitch and they're looking for that heater, that's a pretty good way to get 0-1 on that guy.
I will tell you this, in watching games, and I like to do the workup on the pitchers. A pitcher gets you 0-1, 0-2, chances are you are in big trouble, and it is the way it works. But people who hit the first pitch somehow are hitting it well, even if Vogelsong, 6-for-17 with a homer. If you go up, Posey does it all the time. You look for that first pitch. Why not? If it's a fastball, right? They're trying to get you 0-1. They're going to throw something. They're not going to throw you a crazy slider in the outside corner. You're going to get a pitch to hit. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's totally. I've always believed this. I mean, this. This is what we grew up with. Long ago, the first ball fastball hitter, that was the norm. Guys went after it. They weren't dicking around up there trying to work the count or whatever and get the pitcher out of there. Just last night, Belt and Posey, both of them hit first pitch homers. It's a trend that's definitely growing in the game. Posey picked up on it last year. Mike Trout's on it this year. Michael Brantley. It doesn't make sense, especially now that, getting the starter out of the game. The next thing you know, the setup guy's got better stuff, and the guy after him has better stuff than that. And if you're up there taking a strike, that's just deadly. Next thing you know, it's 0-2, and see you later. So, but even without all that, I think it's smart. Just it might be the best pitch you see. And a lot of guys, they're a little nervous and they try to get that strike right away. And you got to be on top of that.
Exactly. I'll give you the number. After 0-2 against Vogelsong, 172.
Yeah.
Same thing with Leak. After 0-2, 172. So they want to get that first strike in there.
I love first pitch hitting. I mean, if the guy's out there and he can't find the plate, obviously you're going to let him hang himself. Or if he looks nervous or he's yanking at his sleeve or something like that and putting his arm over his head like something's going wrong, you let him die out there. But any good pitcher, man, and it's a good approach for Bumgarner, Kershaw, anybody you talk about. Chapman, I mean, look for that first pitch and go after it. Posey's a great, great example.
Yeah, it makes sense because the stats tell you 0-1, 0-2, they kill you. So they're going to want to throw that first strike in, and they're going to want to make sure it gets in.
Yeah, the A's a few years ago had this system-wide thing about working the count, and guys were taking the first pitch for a strike. And I know a couple of old-timers who had kids, Ed Sprague and Bobby Crosby, their dads are going, what the hell is this? You know, be aggressive. There's nothing worse than a passive hitter up there looking to take a walk.
Well, I think we're going to see it tonight. That's my take on it. Adrian Beltre, I think it was homer number 400 last night, and Cabrera hit number 400 today. Are they both Hall of Famers or one just a dead banger?
Well, Miguel Cabrera, absolutely. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer every single day.
Yeah.
The teams are in awe of him, his teammates, other teams. He hits, he's a 300 hitter plus. He hits the other way. He's smart. Absolute, one of the all-time greats. Beltre, to me, is very, very good. And I've never really thought of him as a Hall of Famer. And I've always thought that, you know, you want that guy to strike you as a Hall of Famer a lot of the time, if not all the time, early on in the career. But, I mean, you know, it's hard to knock the guy. He's a very good fielder. He hits the ball deep. He's had a great career. I just have never quite seen him that way. How about you?
Yeah, I'm with you on it. I'd have to really research it a little more. But, you know, as Leonard Coppett always said, if you have to think about it, he's probably not.
And yeah, I don't ever check the stats. I mean, you know, that's what I do. I mean, I couldn't talk a lot of politics with you, but I mean, if you want to say, is this guy a Hall of Famer, I generally can tell you one way or the other, at least how I feel about it.
Yeah, I know he's a great fielder, and I know he's had when he came up with the Dodgers, he was just awesome. Then went to Seattle, he wasn't. Then got his career going, I guess, with the Red Sox. And, but you look at third baseman in the Hall of Fame, you know, you just don't have that many of them. And
yeah,
you look
true.
At 400 home runs, really, as a third baseman. It's a pretty dramatic number. So I got to think about it. I have to think about it. So I'm not closing the door on him. I'm not going to do that yet. Hey, we got to see the Houston Astros this week. What do you think of them?
Oh, they're very exciting. They're fun to watch. You know, they've got a ton of young guys. They always seem to have new guys that you never heard of. But, you know, Springer's in there, and then they got Rasmus and Carter, you know, holdovers. They've got this kid Correa coming up soon, a great shortstop apparently, one of the best in the bigs. A lot of people are saying, get this guy up here now. We can win this division. You know, Mark Appel is down in the minor leagues, the Stanford kid, former number one pick. They hit the ball deep. They get after it. I mean, Altuve, and something tells me, well, they definitely don't run away with the division, but at the same time, in that division as it exists this year, I think they're going to be in it. I mean, they've got an awful lot of hitting, and I don't think their defense or their relief pitching is going to let them down. I mean, hell, they got Neshek and Gregerson out there now setting up. So, pretty good team.
Yeah, they hit home runs, and someone said the other day it's walks and home runs today. That's sort of what's happening. And look at it, against the Giants, you know, they just kept hitting solo shots, and Valbuena couldn't catch a ball. And all of a sudden, you put one over the plate, and the guy takes it out. And he's hitting third. He's hitting like 198. And you know, he's a number three hitter. So they figured something out, and they got into this thing with Toronto, and they just, two teams are just, that ballpark is so small.
Oh,
it's something. So I found them interesting. I think they come here. I think there's four with, I could be wrong, but I think there's a little bit more with Houston coming up. I could be, I may be thinking of Seattle, but I thought it was fun watching them. I did.
Yeah, they'll be here again. They're not going to look that way in AT&T. I mean, they just aren't, but I don't think they'll disgrace themselves either.
No. You okay 18-18 with Pence coming back? No Kane, no Peavy?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I mean, they were in the tank early on, and everybody's commiserating, and well, it's an odd numbered year, here we go, you know, but I think staying at 500 is pretty admirable considering they've had some rotation problems and this and that. I think they're in pretty good shape. You know, they got to worry about the Dodgers. It's a whole new dynamic with the Dodgers this year, and they're feeling pretty good about themselves, but it's what, this is five and a half, that, you know, that can be erased in a hurry. I think the Giants are in good shape, and you know, they get on the road and they do some hitting, which is really gratifying. Last night, obviously, a glaring example. But and now the Pence is back. I think we'll see him score some runs, and I certainly think they're going to be in the race in September.
Yeah, pretty good. Bullpen for me right now is a little bit shaky. They're just not quite as locked down as they have been. But that's, you know, bullpens go through that. That's why they're in the bullpen.
Yeah, they've been amazingly lucky to have those four guys go all these years. I mean, you know, Billy Bean turns his bullpen around like every day, it seems like, and which is not terribly, you know, that can be a smart way to go, too, because, you know, guys, they've had, like, you know, Balfour was a big star a couple of years ago. Now he's in the minors, you know, but the Giants have had incredibly good luck, really, with the four guys, mainstays with three rings each. That's pretty remarkable for relief pitchers.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you know, they're just not quite locked down right now when they come
right.
in. Anything can happen. Bruce Jenkins with us. One last thought for you. Where do you weigh in on the McGee-Duffy situation? I mean, every other tweet I get or call, everyone's got a very passionate thought about McGee versus Duffy.
Well, you know, I talked to Solly Hemus about it, Marty, because, you know, we want to get him into every show.
And, somebody sent me his baseball card.
The thing with McGee is, you know, he's the guy they brought in to replace Sandoval. He's got a track record. He's a decent ball player, and they just don't want to give up on him. And I think that's smart. You just can't have him sitting around not playing. And meanwhile, they got Duffy coming on, but you know they can play it cool with it. It's not like Duffy is Chris Bryant. You know, I mean he's still fresh on the scene. He's not really built like a third baseman, but he looks like the guy right now that should be playing there. So I think Bochy's playing it very smart, going back and forth, because you know Duffy's got a lot of time. He certainly didn't expect to be starting in the big leagues, ever. You know, and McGee, you know there's a chance he'll come around. I mean he's shown some signs of life, so. You know, it's so early that, and this is a great trait of the Giants. They don't give up on people unless it's really time.
Yeah.
You know, like a Brandon Hicks or something like that. And I think McGee's in a higher class than that, so I think they're doing it right.
Yep. Okay. Did you see Sandoval's home run this week
in Oakland?
Yeah.
Ah, what a screamer!
You know, so the first two pitches, you know, in the dirt, you know, away he swings through both of them. So I said, all right, you know, in the 0-2, you're going to throw one in the dirt. You're going to throw one over his head. They threw one right down the middle, chest high, and he hit like a frozen rope, as Bob Boyd used to say.
Yeah, just a two iron.
Yeah, and for a home run, I said, nice scouting report.
Yeah, then you saw him right-handed. He looks like a cadaver.
He doesn't even play.
Oh, he's just hopeless. God, he's hitting little comebackers and swinging, missing by miles, and he was a way better right-handed hitter here. I think he hit 290 or even early 300s with 1 year right-handed here. But he is absolutely lost right-handed right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think they benched him after a couple
yeah.
of lefties. All right, have a good afternoon and enjoyed all your basketball stuff. It's always terrific. It's excellent stuff. I say they're going to win. I just don't think anyone's going to beat them.
No, I don't either. I think they're going all the way.
Well, it's fun. All right, Bruce.
Fun times.
Talk to you tomorrow, early tomorrow, 8:45 for you tomorrow.
You got it. Have the coffee brewing.
All right, thanks.
Take care.
Bruce. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure. All right.